There are two portions of Scripture I want to read tonight. The first, please, is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. And he, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my good. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now I want to put alongside that a short passage from 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy, please, and chapter 2. We shall read from verse 3, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now God will bless the reading of his holy word. Sudden death, an unexpected death in a neighborhood, brings a sense of solemnity into life. For a short time, at any rate, people seem to move a little bit more quietly. There's a certain sense of reality grips the heart. Blinds are drawn. Voices are lowered. A certain sense of eternity comes into the neighborhood. That's very true, and especially true in a farming neighborhood, where everyone knows everyone else. And I can well understand that the death of this rich farmer of whom the Lord spoke, it brought a quietness into the place, and neighbor would speak quietly to neighbor. Question would be asked, Did you hear about Mr. So-and-so? He dropped dead last night, you know. I was speaking to him just yesterday. Now he's gone. Tell me, how much did he leave? I could tell you how much he left. He left all. He left all. But you know, they would talk about the man. Of course they would. They would say, you know, he was up at 5 o'clock every morning and he worked from dawn till dusk. One thing you could say about him, he was a worker. He really put his life into that farm. Now he's gone. Now he's gone. You know, he had a lot of money put away. He was a wealthy man. Look at the prosperity he enjoyed. Look at the barns he had. Look at the return he got from his investment. My, he was a wealthy man. But he's gone. I tell you, I wonder how much the tax man got. Some neighbor would say, I don't think he got very much because he was a wise man. Look at the plans he had for those buildings. You know, he was going to retire. He was just going to build a little bungalow at the end of the lane there, and he was going to give the farm to the boys, and he was going to take life easy. He had got it all mapped out. That's the picture. Worker. Wealthy. Why? That was at men's end. Be interesting to know, wouldn't it, what God thought? And that's exactly what my Savior did. He allows us to overhear the counsels of heaven. Be interesting to hear what heaven thought about this man who in earth judgment was wealthy and wise. You know what heaven said? Fool! Fool! What'd you say? That's strange. You mean heaven's calling that hard-working, wealthy man who made plans for the future, he's calling him a fool? A fool. Exactly. That's what my God said. I want you to look at that word. I want you to see it in all its terribleness. It almost suggests a man who hasn't got every control of his faculty. He's not reasoning right. He's not thinking straight. That's the idea. It's a fool. I wonder tonight, as I address this audience, I'm very pleased to see you, what your colleagues think of you, what your neighbors would assess in your life, what your friends would say, that able businessman, that fine young lady, and so on. Nice thing. But I wonder, would it be possible tonight that heaven, as they look down, would say, he's a fool. She's a fool. What a terrible step. I want to ask my heart tonight before God, what are the elements of foolishness? What is it that constitutes a person in God's estimate a fool? Now that's what we're going to look at. And I'm going to suggest from this passage that there are three elements. You can tick them off as we go down and see how you stand. Not in earth's rating, but in heaven's judgment. And see before God whether you are following a foolish course. Because here's a man. They likely say nice things at his funeral. They'll likely put nice things on his tombstone. But there's only one word that heaven would have on the tombstone, and it's fool. The man's a fool. Now what's the first element? It's this. Here is a man who thought of self and left out God. Look at the statements. I, six times. My, mine, six, five times. Not a consideration of God. I was almost going to say he thought of silver, because it's mainly his possessions that he has in view, his farm and its fruitfulness and all that's going to be done in the future. He's so occupied with that, mind you, he never stops to think of the God that he's going to meet. Mind you, he wasn't an atheist. Wasn't an agnostic. Mind you, he likely would have gone along to the synagogue maybe twice a year when his wife dragged him along.
He likely would. He would have passed in the district as an honest, decent, hard-working, God-fearing man. Nothing wrong with that. Except that he left God out. I want to look into your face tonight before God and ask you, dear soul, have you thought of the God that you have to meet? When the last business transaction is done and the pen is laid down, when the last job is completed and the trowel is laid aside, when the last consignment is dispatched and the business closed for the day, have you ever thought that you've got to meet your God? Now stop. I want to speak to you of God our Savior. I could go back to God our Creator. What a theme. I could look into the future and speak of God our Judge. But I want tonight to speak to you of a God who has an interest in you. And this is God our Savior. Now listen, please. Who will have all men to be saved. Who will have all men to be saved. That all men is not all without distinction. It's all without exception. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't dare stand on this platform. I believe God has a purpose for you. God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Look at that word "saved." Do you understand it? We've been trying in the nights that are past to emphasize the necessity of salvation. Oh, to try to bring home to heart the necessity of salvation. That salvation that speaks of pardon for sins of the past. That speaks of peace in the conscience with regard to God's holiness. Speaks of a prospect of heaven. That's what God offered. That's the salvation that God would provide for every soul. Have you got that? Please don't exclude yourself. God has an interest in you, and His interest is salvation. Now stop again. Don't make any mistake, not only about the necessity of salvation, but about the nature of salvation. Because salvation's not belonging to a church, please, or a chapel, or a gospel hall. Salvation is not having a ceremony of religion done upon me, christening, confirmation, baptism. You could have all of those and no salvation. That's not God's salvation. You've tried to make it plain that salvation is an experience of Christ that brings into the heart pardon, peace, and the assurance of heaven. Now, if you haven't got that, you haven't got God's salvation. But we have tried to bring out nightly the urgency of God's salvation. That word "saved" has the thought of being delivered. And delivered from the sentence that my sin demands. What's it mean? It means a salvation that delivers me from going down to the flames of a lost eternity. My sin demands eternal death. That's the subject that we have tried to emphasize in nights that are past. And this salvation in its very nature is urgent. You need to be delivered. Now here's the purpose of God. Are you prepared to allow that tonight to take precedence over your business? Over your pleasure? That's why I mean to measure you up tonight and ask you, are you a fool? God would say, all men to be saved. Some heart in the meeting says, but I have got my farm, I have got my business, I've got my pleasure. Shut God out. I want to say to you tonight, soul, it's your very wisdom for eternity to say, I need to be saved. And I must be saved. And I'm going to be saved. Are you a fool? Young people, tonight I speak to you for a moment. The world beckons. Its pleasures attract. And the scriptures say there is pleasure in sin. But remember this, it's only for a time. Do you know what Robbie Burns said? Pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower, the bloom is shed. Like a snowflake on the river, a moment white, then gone forever. That's earth's pleasure. Maybe guide you along the pathway of life. All the fun of the game, of the dance, of the sin, the drink, it will beguile you along the pathway of life. Let it flow, leave you with an empty heart and a Christless grave and a lost eternity. God said, all men to be saved. The little poem puts it like this. When the actors have played their last drama, and the jester has made his last pun, when the TV has flashed its last picture and the motor has had its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure have vanished and gone out into the darkness again, the trump of the ages has sounded and called for you, what then? It happened to the rich farmer. And God said, fool. Secondly, I want you to notice this, that he prepared for the body, he forgot about the soul. Mind you, he addressed his soul. He said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Why, he was mapping out the pleasure path, all the prospects that illumined his pathway. I'm going to enjoy myself now. I'm going to enjoy myself. He's thinking of the body. Did it ever cross his mind that when the body would be in the earth and the tombstone erected, his soul would be in eternity in heaven or in hell? There's only two places, please. Just two. And that night when the rich farmer died, he left her to go out into eternity. He had made every provision for the body, but no record of provision for the soul. And heaven said, fool, if your doctor was to look into your face and say, I'm sorry, the tests are positive, you've got cancer. you would seek urgent help. If your bank manager was to call and say, things have gone wrong, business is in trouble, you would take urgent steps, wouldn't you? But I'm telling you tonight that far more important than your body or than your business, there is your soul. It's going to live throughout endless ages. It's going to exist in the great eternity, either in the realms of glory or in the regions of gloom, throughout age after age after age. What action are you taking? What preparation have you made? Listen to the Lord's word. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I put it to your heart tonight. What value do you put upon that soul of yours? What did Judas put on his? 30 pieces of silver. Whisper into Judas' ear. Judas, make a good bargain. It's all you'll get. 30 pieces of silver. Ask Pilate what he got. The friendship of Caesar. A medal and a birthday honor. And he lost his soul. Ask Esau what he got. A mess of pottage. For it, he sold his soul. My friend, tonight, that soul of yours is precious. You say, how do you know? Christ paid a mighty price. Listen again. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's the person of Christ. What did he do? Who gave himself a ransom for all. There's the price he paid for the souls of men. And I look at that person and I see his pain. Do I begin to understand the value that God puts on the souls of men? He gave his son. He allowed the sentence of heaven to fall upon the guiltless one who took the place of the guilty. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. And he made provision. Who did he make it for? For all. The same all as embraced in the purpose of God. That provision was infinite as Christ was an infinite person. You'll never be able to blame God. Say, there wasn't enough for me. You've got a precious soul. It's going to live forever. Friends can only take you up to the moment of death. Then the lights begin to go out. The voices begin to fade. You go out into God's eternity. It won't matter how much you left, how much pleasure you enjoyed. All that will matter is this. Is your soul saved? Are you ready? Did you make preparation? Or heaven will be able to say, fool! She misspent her day. She squandered her life. He waited too long, and yet Christ paid a mighty price. Do you value your soul? Value your soul? Great purpose of God. The provision of grace. Ah, but wait now, this man made a third mistake. He not only thought of self and left out God, not only made preparation for the body, but left out the soul. He planned for time. He left out eternity. If I could bring home to your heart tonight the contrast between the many years, that's what this farmer planned for. What did heaven say? They were working on a different time scale. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. If I could speak to your heart, because involved is eternity. What do you understand by eternity? Just let the thought of it for a moment just speak to your very soul. Timeless eternity.
Shoreless infinity, measureless, fathomless, limitless sea,
vastness, extensible, incomprehensible, forever and ever and ever and ever to be.
That's eternity. Little girl proffered her friend a book, a little autograph book, as children will. The friend wrote in it, "When to think of summers yet to be, that I shall never see. To think a weed is yet to bloom, of dust that I shall be." Another friend came in and read it, said, "I want to add something to it." Took up their pen and added it. "To think when heaven and earth are fled, and seas and skies are o'er, when all that can die shall be dead, then I shall die no more. Where, oh where, shall my spirit be? Where shall I spend eternity?" Every one of us have to face eternity. Time, God gives you time dispensationally. The grace goes out, the message. God gives you time personally. That's why you're in the meeting tonight. That's why you're under the sound of the gospel and God is speaking to your heart. Now, soul tonight, don't be a fool. The purpose of God would bring you salvation. The provision that Christ has made would meet your deepest need. And the power of the Spirit of God tonight would put his finger on you and say, "This night, salvation." And you know it could be yours as you sit in the meeting. And you could leave the meeting. Say, wise for eternity. May this happen. May this be your portion, that you may trust Christ and be saved.